When we go to Phoenix in February to what we call it, Pastor, put that down. Put that down. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. I am grateful that you put that down. I guarantee it. I'm grateful. Anyway, listen, I'm the preacher. Pay attention to me. Eyes up here. Tommy, quit it. Attitude of gratitude. Well, I'll tell you what, these people are plotting against me here. Oh, Lord. But the speakers that they have down there, we don't just go down there, you know, to get away and to vacation. We go down there to get encouraged and get inspired and from godly men that God lays these messages on their heart. And there's one particular minister that comes, a pastor from New Mexico. And his name is Steve Smotherman, and I like his attitude about the church, and I like his attitude about the stand that the church should take in the society, that the government shouldn't be pushing the church around. The church has been established by a higher power than the government. Listen, you want an object lesson? I'll give you an object lesson. If you've got old quarters and new quarters, in the old quarters, if you look on the old quarter, who is that? Is that old George on there? Well, if you look at that, you'll see, Tim, take a look at that. What's that say right there?
In God we trust.
And George is facing In God We Trust, right?
Yeah.
This is a new quarter. If you got a new quarter, pull it out of your pocket and take a look at it. Tell me what that says.
I can't really see it.
It says, In God we trust.
In God we trust.
But his back is turned to it.
Yeah.
It's turned to it. Even our money, the government is even turning the back of the nation in our money against the Lord, against God. These little, did you vote for that, by the way? Did anybody vote for that? Somebody made a decision that we're going to change the way we look at things. We've always looked towards In God We Trust, but not now. We're turning our back, and you can see it all across our nation. And this pastor is one that, in my opinion, has a backbone that stands up to the ordinary and to the common and says, not on my watch. And so one day I was sitting at the house and I looked him up on the internet, and he's got a little thing that he puts out, and it's just a thought. And I was reading this, and he was talking about an attitude of gratitude, and that's this message tonight is developed out of his just a thought. Did you know that regret is stronger than gratitude? You see it every Tuesday night. Bill, people are just, if you see somebody that is in regret. It can consume them. It can crush them, the weight of regret. It's stronger than gratitude. Here's a fun fact for you. Did you know that the dead receive more flowers than the living? It ought to not be. The dead receive more flowers than the living. I want to talk to you tonight about the rut of regret. You know what a rut is? Anybody know what a rut is? Well, what you're thinking is probably wrong. Because in my opinion, a rut is a grave with both ends kicked out of it.
Pastor, I'd like to say something.
Okay. And it'll bury you. Yeah. Thank God, though, you come out of it. You sit in this church and cry every week.
I do. His yoke is easy.
It's what I'm talking about. The rut of regret. Regret is defined as a feeling often accompanied by sadness, shame, and guilt. Regret is when you wish that you had done things differently in your past. Anybody in that category? Wish I'd have done things differently in my past. How many of you realize tonight you can't do a thing about your past? However, you can learn from your past. You can learn from those past mistakes. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, it says that the thief comes or does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I've come that they may have life, and that life and that they may have it more abundantly. See, regret leaves us feeling bad about ourselves and really does steal our joy. You just testified to that, Ralph. It steals our joy. How many of you know that the joy of the Lord is our strength? How many of you know that it's one of the best kept secrets?
Why they come up here on the altar, they see it through the worship we have in the morning. I mean, you do a good job of preaching, but it's the joy that draws people. What do they have that I don't? I want that.
Right, right. And so, you know, regret leaves us feeling bad about ourselves and it steals our joy. So regret is powerful, and a lot of people get stuck in regret. We get stuck in this regret, but Jesus delivers you and I from bondage and leads us into freedom. How many of you know in his presence there's freedom? There's liberty. There's all these things. We have salvation because of him. And the word saved means delivered safe and sound. It used to be said that a person had recovered from a severe illness. They'd been saved, and they've come through a bad storm. They've been saved. They survived a war. They're saved. They were acquitted in court. They were saved. Some modern day preachers today want to do away with that I'm being saved thing because it's old fashioned. Well, it might be old fashioned, but it still works. Amen. And it's still true. Lives are still being, we saw it this morning in these altars. We saw it last Sunday in these altars. We saw it the week before that in these altars, that there are people that are still desiring to get saved. Listen, they realize they're lost, and so they want to be saved. I'll be talking about getting saved the rest of my life. The thief wants to steal the sheep from the fold. He wants to slaughter them, and he wants to destroy them. And you and I must learn from our past. We can't go back in our past and do things over. You can't do that. That's what you did. Own it. Learn from it. Don't go back there. Listen, the enemy would love for you to go back and begin to wallow in the mire of regret and of doubt and of failure and of all these things. Remember the prodigal son when he found himself in the pig pen. He was as far away as he could get. He was as separated from his dad and his family as he could get. How many of you know sometimes you got to hit the bottom before you look up? He didn't have any, he couldn't go any, I mean, he's a good Jewish boy feeding swine. That was completely taboo. That was completely against everything that he had been taught. And the Bible says when he came to himself, there's a lot of people that need to have a come to self meeting. After they come to self, they need to come to Jesus. So you got to deal with you. You got to recognize. He said, man, I'm going to just go back to my dad's house and maybe he'll just hire me on as a servant. How many of you know his dad wasn't having any of that? And neither will your father in heaven. You can't go back in your past and do things over. Your decisions are your decisions. One thing that we can do, however, is learn from them so we don't continue to make the same mistakes over and over and over. How many of you are guilty of making the same mistake over and over and over? Insanity. Insanity, they say, is doing the same thing over and over. You want to finish it? and expecting a different result. There's just some things in our past we just need to kill. We need to just take authority over those things. We need to learn from our past mistakes so that we don't continue to make the same mistake over and over again. I'm guilty of making the same mistakes over and over and over. You know, if you beat your head on the wall long enough, you'll get a red spot and a knot and it'll, you know, get, you know. Quit doing it. Step away from the wall. We all have to learn. And here's the important part. And this is where most of the church is. We need to learn from our mistakes as well as from our successes. We all have to learn to move forward and not live in the past. Because there are people all around us. Don't raise your hand, but just let the Holy Spirit just. But there are people all around us that are holding on to past hurts that happened years ago. And they're still, you just don't know what they said to me. Get over it. That sounds brash, but listen. You're the one that's being held in bondage by that. You got to learn. We've got to learn that the past hurts that happened years ago, we got to let go of because we're still suffering and we wonder why we can't get the victory in our life. It's because we just won't move on. We won't turn loose of the past. I want my pound of flesh. I want some level of justification for what's happened in my life. Listen, you might not ever get it. And if you don't, and you don't deal with yourself in the situation, you're going to be in that same spot when Jesus comes back. And we got to deal with it. You got to move on. You got to say, Lord, forgive me for living there. Lord, forgive that person for what they did to me. Yes, it hurt, but you know what? I'm pretty sure that I'm the only person that's being affected by it by right now. And it's because I refuse to turn loose of it. There's monkeys in Africa or India or wherever these little monkeys are. I don't know where they're at, but they're out there. And you know how they catch them? I'll do the preaching. I'm going to tell you again. Do you know how they catch them? They take a coconut and they hollow it out. They cut a little hole in the end of it. And in the other end, they put a bolt in it and they chain it to a tree. And they put a little shiny little trinket inside of it. And the little monkey goes by and he sees it in there. And he says, I got to have that. And so he reaches his little hand inside that hole and he gets a hold of that little trinket. And he wants it so bad that he refuses to turn loose of it, and he gets captured and put in bondage for the rest of his life because he refused to turn loose. I'll do the preaching. I was talking about monkeys this morning, wasn't I? You're right. You're right. But how many of us are the monkey that refuse to turn loose and end up in bondage? I mean, escape was as simple as just turning loose and freedom. But we don't. We hang on to it and we get captured. It's a sad thing. We can't move on unless we turn loose of the past. When you can turn loose of the past, you'll become grateful. You'll become grateful. And being grateful, I believe, will help you do that. Gratitude is defined as the quality of being thankful and readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. Kindness is a great tool. Gratitude, however, is more than just feeling thankful for something. It's more like a deeper appreciation for someone or something that produces longer lasting positivity and peace of mind. We should be so grateful to God for His forgiveness and for His kindness. Man, if you know me, I've got every reason in the world to be grateful. I know what He saved me from. I know where He's brought me up out of. And I'm grateful for that. Let me bless you with this passage. In Psalms 34, verses 11 through 19, I tried to cut some of this out. You just can't. How many of you know there's passages of Scripture you just can't cheapen? I mean, you just got to lay it on there. This is one of them. Come, you children, listen to me. That's pretty direct, isn't it? Must have something important to say. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil. I'll just wait for a minute, let that sink in. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. The Lord delivers them out of them all. Nowhere in this psalm, church, does David suggest that the life of faith and obedience will exempt you and I as children of God from trouble? He doesn't ever say that. He does, however, promise that if we trust Him and if we will call on Him, the Lord can and will see us through our troubles and make those troubles a blessing to us and through us to other people. How many of you want to be a blessing to somebody? The trouble that you might be going through today, you'll be able to help somebody with tomorrow. You can become a blessing to other people. If you've blown it living in your past mistakes, if you've been crushed in your heart and in your mind, repent of whatever, for whatever part you had in that. Repent. God will heal your heart and He'll heal your mind. We need to learn to practice gratitude. What am I thankful for? What can I be grateful for tonight? When you and I can learn and practice gratitude, it will cause us and cause our lives to be better. How many of you are looking for a better life? I'm looking for a better life. I'm looking for a closer, more intimate walk with the Lord. I want to be like the apostles and the disciples of old that knew Him, that He moved through and that He worked through. And I understand, I realize that God's moving through us. But man, I want more. I just want more. I'm selfish. I'm greedy. You can call me whatever you want, but I'm not satisfied with a little dabble, do you? I want His presence in my life every day, all day. I want to bask in His presence. I want to see His glory, the Shekinah glory of God in this place. Amen. I want to see, I prayed for this little gal that was, she was deaf and her I think it was her daughter-in-law was signing for her, and that's a whole different experience because I tend to talk fast and I had to slow down because her little fingers wouldn't work that fast. But she got the message across. I want to see her mind restored. I want to see her ears restored. Oh yeah, I watched it too. When she did that, I knew what she was talking about. Yeah. Pretty simple. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? God's going to bring more and more and more of that in all the time. He's going to bring them in. I trust Him to bring them in. I can't wait to see God begin. Oh, I thought you was just worshiping.
There's a good rut. And I dove in it and it saved my life. And I'm in another rut.
Yes, sir. That was a good rut. It saved your life. I've heard the story. I know all about it. Thank God for it. The problem is, not the problem, but the reality is, see, you didn't stay in that rut. You didn't stay in that rut. You let the Lord lead you out of that place. And here you are today. I'm grateful for that. I want you to have an attitude of gratitude this week, church. I want you to begin. Remember this morning I talked about the neural pathways in your mind, in your brain? Those will begin to change when you begin to change your thought process. When you on purpose begin to think on good thoughts. Galatians chapter 5 says, think on these things. Oh, is it Philippians chapter 4? Well, Galatians talks about the gifts of the Spirit, right? Anyway. Think on these things. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are holy. Whatsoever things are of a good report. You choose and you decide what you let in here. Make up your mind that this week I'm going to fill my mind with good things. I'm going to speak life Do you realize the Bible says the power of life and death is in your tongue? I'm going to speak life over people today. This week, I'm going to look for somebody and I'm going to speak life. I'm going to cancel the sentence of death that somebody has spoken to that person's life. I'm gonna look in my life and see if I can find some of those things that I need to turn loose of the trinket and get my hand out and be set free. Amen. Father, I pray tonight, God, that an attitude of gratitude would settle into our lives. Lord, that we would leave this place with a determination that I'm going to be above and not beneath, like your Bible says. I'm going to walk in the joy of the Lord because your word says that that's where my strength is. And that in your presence, I'm going to bask in your presence, whether I'm driving down the road or sitting in my car or at my house doing the dishes or whatever it may be. I'm going to just bask in the fullness of God, in the presence of the Lord, because that is where the fullness of joy comes from. And so, Lord, I thank you for that. God, we lift again tonight those people that need your healing touch. Lita and Mark, Dorothy, Randy, Billy Joe. God, you know who these people are. This little boy that was beaten up. I cannot imagine an adult beating up a little baby. God, heal that little fella. Watch over this congregation. Watch over every person watching tonight by way of the internet. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just begin to do things through the internet in people's lives. That, God, you'd be doing things in this place. God, like we preached on this morning, Lord, let us live a life that is pleasing and glorifying to Almighty God. And for that, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. God bless you. God bless you on the internet. We'll see you Wednesday night. Have a great rest of your week, folks.